Welcome, welcome to episode 29 of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. I am your host, Jazmar Jazz Bennett, mother, educator, host, and I have a fantastic show for you today. So you know, the month of May, I've been celebrating and spotlighting dope mothers out there. And we're talking about all types of mothers. And boy, do I have a great couple who's practicing like right before this episode, right? I'm just playing.
Just tell all our business, Jazz.
So look, I cannot wait until they make, you know, that announcement, and we know that it will definitely happen. See, you didn't think I was going to be silly. I'm coming. Look, we're warming up. But I have a dope couple, and you guys know that I love me some love. Oh, yeah. I love me some black love. I love love. I'm a hopeless romantic and all of that good stuff. And so what better couple to have on my podcast other than the Joneses, the Bushes, keeping up with the Joneses and the Bushes. But I have DJ the Bushman. Hey, you know, I'm gonna keep calling you that.
That's
right?
What everybody thinks.
DJ Bush. Think. And I also have Sarah Jones Bush in the building. Hey. Let's give them a round of applause. Woo woo. So listen. So I gave you that introduction. You're still not going to give me your government, right?
It's DJ Bush.
Yeah, we're going to rock with it. And we're going to stick with it.
My name is my name. Yes.
Your name is your name. I love it. So DJ Bush, you are a spectacular DJ. I was calling you an event specialist on my flyer just because it sounds like ooh la 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 la. So tell me, what would you say? How do you introduce yourself?
So I like event specialist. That sounds... I mean, could I get to it? I'm not just going to play music. There's a vibe that needs to be curated.
Right. See, that's that word, curating. Yeah, yeah. We're curating the vibe.
You can't just play a song. A good, for example, the Wobble. The Wobble works. But if I start off your party with the Wobble, I can't play it again. I have to write. You know, you got to wait for the right time to do that. But I'm a person who loves music, who happens to find ways for people to pay me to play music.
Listen, that's what it's all about.
Which works, because that whole, shout out to Polk County Public Schools. I love y'all.
Yes.
Job, you know, I love that.
We do.
I teach by trade, but the passion is in the music.
In the music. And that's a dope part that I like about it. Like one of your recent posts, I know you were talking about getting a four-figure deal. Amen. For your DJ services, and that's, listen, big ups for that.
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
Shout out to Polk County Public Schools.
Shout out to Polk County Public Schools. We're going to keep saying we love our job, right? So that's amazing. So I am all about people living in their passion and making a way to make a living, a great living, a desired living by doing that. And so I'm a circle back to you after I introduce your beautiful wife, because I'm going to just talk about one of the events that I went to. I'm going to kind of paint a picture for you. So to his left... But she can be to his right, to his side, to his front, to his back, his peanut butter, to his jelly, his, you know, all of that good stuff, right? I want to introduce, now you are Miss Sarah Jones Bush. You are a criminal defense lawyer.
I am.
Okay. You also are a personal injury lawyer. You have your own law firm, the Sarah Jones Law Firm.
Sarah Jones Law Firm.
Okay, so if you are in an accident, are you scared and confused? Maybe I can't use that one. I have to come up with a jingle, so we won't do that one.
Oh, we got jingles.
You got jingles. Yeah, I want to hear a jingle. I know you got to have a jingle.
Hits. You got to watch the 60-second showcase where my husband does independent artist reviews and also plays my commercials because he's a dope husband.
I love it.
Thursdays at 7:30. If you're interested.
Thursdays at 7:30. Where?
On YouTube and Facebook, DJ Bush ENT. That is DJ BUSHENT. Thank you.
Gotta do that. I love that. I love that. And so not only do you own your own law firm and you practice two specialties in law, You are running for District 6, that District 6 seat of the Polk County Public Schools.
Yes.
So we will see you in the seat for District 6 very soon.
I receive it.
Very soon, yes. I'm telling you. So I'm a vote for her, okay?
August the 23rd.
August 23rd. And I encourage you guys to do the same because we need smart, vibrant, young, optimistic people who are sincere and passionate about our kids,
yeah.
First and foremost, our teachers, our parents, all stakeholders in our Polk County public school system. And we need diversity on the school board.
Yeah.
And so I chose to say diversity last because you're hella qualified. Let's just say that you definitely are. Hi, public schools, because I know I have a lot of friends and a lot of colleagues who are watching. And so I'm not just saying that I'm endorsing Sarah just because. But if you look at her track record, I mean, McLaughlin, like, my gosh, like you love you some McLaughlin. We see what just happened at McLaughlin, yes, the amazing things. Yes. And not only that, but the things leading up, because the principal has been there. This is her second year. And the principal and I actually went through our principal internship together. So we went through that that program together, and she's doing amazing things. And so you're not only at that school, but you are a proponent for all educators educational initiatives that benefit our kids. So we have that. And then I feel like I'm leaving out something. Sarah, did I leave something out when I'm introducing you?
I do so much stuff.
You do so much, right?
I'm on a couple boards for the city. I'm on a charter school board. What else I do? I just like to spend my time helping people. That's just really like, that's what I like to do. My husband laughs at me because I'm a pretty serious person. Mm-hmm. But I just, I really like to spend my time, you know, helping people. And I spend all this time getting this education. So I figure I should share it with the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I'm a keep it here for a second just so that you can tell us more. Because I want to know, you told me a little bit of why you wanted to run for school board, but tell me how important education has been for you. Like, what do you remember about your you know, grade school days? What draws you to education? Because if you go on your page, you're deep into policy, which you should be. You know, you definitely, I can tell, love to study, you love to read, and you should, because you are a lawyer, you're on your own firm, and you should be up on those, up on the legislature, the different bills that are coming out. And so, and those are there, because if I hear anything about critical race theory, which had nothing to do with elementary, nor did it really have anything to really do with public high school, with public school.
Yeah.
And okay. They're coupling and umbrellaing it, to pretty much passed some iffy legislation. And so tell me how you got your start. Tell me why are you so passionate about education? What can we expect from you when you win the District 6 seat?
I don't know if it's
seat.
This way or this way. Whichever way.
Yeah, it's 6 either way. Well, honestly, I grew up in schools. My grandmother was a teacher for 30 years for Polk County Public Schools. My mom taught for, I want to say, 27 years for Polk County Public Schools. She still teaches up in Jacksonville. And I really spent my whole childhood in schools. Like, I would go to school after school. I would go to the school that my mom taught at and spend, like, numerous hours doing whatever I was told to do.
Right.
So, I mean, I remember one year, I was probably in middle school, and I decorated all 6 fourth grade classrooms the week before school started. Yeah, I mean, it's something that I enjoyed. Like, I remember going after school. Like, I would end school early because I went to Frostproof. And my mom taught at Ben Hill Griffin, the elementary school right across the street. Okay. So I would end school at 2 o'clock, and until 4 or 5 o'clock, I was always at the school tutoring students, helping my mom prepare lesson plans, Back then, a lot of, you know, everybody wasn't taught to type in school, so the adults type slow, but I type fast, so they'll write some stuff down, and I would go and type it up, all type of stuff. And then in high school, I was in Interact, which is the youth version of Rotary.
Okay.
So the whole idea is that the high school students read with, and tutor third grade students, because third grade is proven to be the grade where that has the most impact in elementary school. So I did that all through elementary school, middle school, high school. When I was in college, I tutored again. I came into college at FSU through a program called the CARE program, which was a summer bridge
that
program.
Is the bomb. Like, yeah. One of my former third graders, she is, now she should be a freshman, but she's on paper considered a junior because of, shout out to Brianna Cobbs. I love you, baby. But she's in the CARE program at FSU as well.
And that program was awesome, awesome, awesome for me. And after my first semester in college, I actually started tutoring for the program. Okay. So I had a work study job where I went up to the tutoring lab, and that's what I did all 4 years in college, was I tutored other students in the subjects that I was really, really good at, in addition to having two other jobs.
Yeah.
And then in law school, same thing, I tutored other students. And as soon as I moved back to Polk County a year after I finished law school, it just kind of, I don't know, it seemed like such a natural thing to go find a school to volunteer at, because I had been in schools my whole life. And I had been going up. I went to elementary school. I started off elementary school at Janie Howard Wilson. So I had a friend who was teaching there, and I would go and do different things, speak to the kids. And I was in the Leadership Lake Wells program. That's how I got involved with McLaughlin, because one of the schools we went to was McLaughlin. Yeah. And so I met Dr. Wright at the time, Dr. Wright Hudson now. And
shout out to Mario.
But I met her, and I saw all. That was before McLaughlin kind of had in the rest of the community, nobody else knew what was going on at McLaughlin. But if you were there, you started to feel the movement and see the change. And I watched McLaughlin go from an F school to a C school off of culture, off of knowing that the adults who were there cared about them. And it was the same kids. People said were bad, were failing, couldn't do it. And they took those same kids and turned the school around.
I'm going to tell you that snapshot that you were able to get, as an outsider looking into the situation, I saw how you gravitated towards that school. And whomever is working, I feel, in public policy, or you're making decisions about education, in order for you to do your job effectively, you have to be immersed in it. More than just making a pop-up visit and taking pictures at the school, and just being able to write a short blurb about something fantastic about the school. But when you are like in the mud, in the muck of it with a school, having a school in basically DA status, where you're an F school or you're a turnaround school in the district, and you have to make that school great. And what you said is that they turn around the school by culture. And that is the number one thing. That culture encompasses things like rapport, respect for the students, but rapport is the largest component of that. And so you just have my utmost respect just because you were able to do that.
Well, you know, the thing that I saw about McLaughlin was the culture shift was not just with the kids,
with the staff,
every member of, like, the janitors love it at McLaughlin, the bus drivers love it, like, they, everybody there is important, and everybody understands that the job that they do puts children in a position where they can succeed when they become adults. Right. And everybody buys into that. Everybody puts in the extra work. Everybody is willing to go that much harder because there's a real reason behind it that's emphasized every day. And that's one of the things that I want to bring to the school board. When all of the sort of red herring issues are coming at us, stuff that is politics, where people are fighting culture wars in classrooms where it shouldn't be happening, I want to be able to pull back from that and say, hold on. Can the kids read? The same books you're talking about banning, can the kids read them? You know, and can you retain educators when we have the highest job vacancy rate in history in Polk County? What are we doing about those issues?
Right.
And I really, really, like, I'm kind of known in my day job for sort of calling out BS. And I'd be happy to do that on behalf of the Polk County Public Schools.
And I know a lot of teachers are rallying behind you because they want the same thing. And you're doing it with smarts. You're doing it with a strong, firm foundation, and you know what you're talking about, and you love the kids. And so I think that's a huge difference. I don't feel like it was, and even if it was someone who maybe prompted you to run for the school board, I know that it's just not about that. I know that you have the qualifications for the position.
Oh, I didn't want to run for school board. Oh. I didn't want to, like,
I'm going to tell you a story.
I'm just going to be honest. I didn't want to do it, but we need good people to be on our school board.
So I had Mr. Jordan J. Corbett on my show. And so you know that he was a longstanding public school. He sat on our public school for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And he said the same thing. He was like, they all rallied around him because mm-hmm. of the importance of his presence on the school board. Because he had no desire to do it. He was a revered educator. And that was his passion. Coach. That's what everybody knew mm-hmm. him as. But him sitting on that seat, I think it just really changed the whole, his whole perspective. Right. And so you are absolutely right. I actually have aspirations after you get the seat, to sit there with her at some point. And so I can't wait to see the results and they declare that you are the winning candidate for seat six. So I need for you to vote. I'm gonna let her husband do it because he's a DJ. He can ramp it up. He loves her to no end. Like, so take it away, DJ.
Happily married man. So what we need you to do on August the 23rd, the primaries. People don't really like to go out and vote on the primaries, but you're going to go and you're going to cast your vote. District 6, Sarah Jones for Polk at sarahjonesforpolk.com. Y'all want me to spell it out? That's S-A-R-A-J-O-N-E-S.
You got to act like you on that
F-O-R-P-O-L-K.com.
You got to act like you were on that DJ microphone. You got
to y'all need
loud.
To get up out there, and y'all need to go vote. Because she want me to get loud. I'm going to get loud for my wife. Yes. Y'all want me to put on? I'll stand up and knock the whole mic down. Yes. I'll knock the mic down. I'll mess the whole interview up, right? Y'all better vote August 23rd.
That's Sarah Jones. That's what I'm talking about. Like, we need some round of applause for that one. That was good. That was good. All right, so DJ, DJ Bush, listen, I was at an event, and I know the promoters may kill me for this, but I cannot remember the promoters, but Star was one of the promoters, Star and
Exceptional Marketing
Group. Exceptional Marketing Group, thank you. So that was one of the first events that I was able to see you at, right?
You're talking about in Lakeland.
So this is an event where there's poetry, there's live music, and of course, there has to be a DJ that brings the vibe, right? So I love that type of vibe. And so this was my very first time seeing you in action.
That was a good night, too.
So it was so good that I'm like, I'm just like, the DJ is vibing. I'm like, okay, like he's spinning the records, you know, and he's got everybody in the vibe. And then out of nowhere, like, you legitly get up and you start like dancing, and I'm like, go DJ.
I felt like, all right, so shout out to Ricky Pryor, man.
Yes,
Ricky
he's a nut.
It was friendly competition, but he was kind of at me. Yes, and I was like, okay, man, I got on some pants. They fit good. I've been in the gym. I can drop down. I wasn't no striker, but I'll drop.
What you know about the striker? I'm going to just say, I love the Boys of Poison. I know I'm in Lakeland. I got to give it up for the Strikers. But my cousin was a Boy of Poison, so I'm just going to say that.
All I know is when my thighs work right, we can, you know, all of this.
I was like, okay.
Not even from Florida. That's the best part.
Where are you from?
I'm from L.A.
From L.A. Wow. My grandmother lived in L.A. for a long time. She was in Rochester, and then she went to the West Coast. And she was in L.A. for, had to be over 40 years.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's, wow. So you West Coast. Yeah, okay.
Left, went to college, and I love L.A., but I can't. I feel like cost of living is high everywhere now.
Right.
Like, cost of living in L.A. is like what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like that for like 15 years.
Yeah. Like, it has been.
It's terrible. I have a cousin whose rent was, we went home to go visit her. It was like 3 years ago. Her rent was $1,600. Comps in the area were apparently $3,200. She got a letter in the mail from her landlord, said, your rent going up $1,000 in 30 days.
Oh, my. Wow. I just, I hope that does not happen in Lakeland, but I've been hearing some stories, some isolated stories where it kind of is filtering down.
Rent control.
Yeah, right? Like, right?
From, as a person who lives in a state with no rent control, like, I remember when I left to go off to college, they raised my mom's rent, like, $600. Mm-hmm. No warning, no, hey, this $600.
Wow.
100 that's crazy. Apartment complex, that's a large increase.
So I'm going to just tell you, if they were to raise anything of any one of your loved ones, because you have such a love of music and you are making moves in music, hey, the rent's on you, right? You got it, right?
I wish I had my brother's laugh. Yeah. I got him in spirit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to motivate you. I got that mix, that thumb drive
listen,
mix. Yeah, I got
listen, listen. Because you're doing big things, right? And you're following your passion.
That part.
So talk to me about that. Talk to me about who DJ Bush is and what you're doing, what you have going on.
So DJ Bush is a happily married man. And
like, first and foremost.
Like, no, for real. Like, it's funny because like I have my show on Thursdays at 7:30, right?
You got to say it loud. Listen, when I play this podcast back, I better not hear you all low when you are like the best, one of the best DJs right. ever.
Right. So, but everybody else be super loud and I'm like, hey, I'm going on super loud. I'm like, man, why are you yelling when he's sitting down? I'm working on that part.
Okay.
So, but not every chance I get, I talk about how being a happily married man. So shout out to my dad. I love my dad. My dad was a great father, top notch father. Not necessarily the best husband, mm-hmm. right? So what he showed me and how to be a father, and I can't wait to, you know what I'm saying, put that in practice. I felt like there was room for improvement, and I've always wanted to be a great husband. Like, that's always been a goal of mine. Like, I'm going to be a husband, I'm going to be top notch. Like, yeah. I'm going to be the business. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm gonna give you the cash out later. You know what I'm saying? So, but nah, man, I happily married man. Music is my utmost passion. Like, some of my earliest memories have been like me on the floor with a plate, like acting like I'm scratching it. And you know, if your mama lets you have a clean plate on the floor,
right?
That's love.
I'm envisioning like porcelain and whatnot.
Yeah, she clearly caught the vision early
on.
My mom is one of my biggest supporters and fans. Like, it's her husband, two times for Papa Charlie. Her husband is huge with music. We gotta go back and forth. He'll send me a flash drive. Oh, I got 1,400 songs on this. I gotta send him a flash drive with some music back and forth. Yeah. So, and I like to learn things and teach things to other people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense for me to be the only person with the knowledge. That's not fun.
Right.
So if I can show you how to do it, I'm gonna show you how to do it. Because even if we're doing the same thing, you're not gonna do it like me. Because I'm just gonna laugh, and people are like, "Oh my gosh, that laugh! I love it.
It's coming."
So yeah. If I can make you feel comfortable, then I've done my job.
Yeah.
Like that. If you don't take anything else away from who DJ Bush is and why you should book him for your events.
Go ahead and pub it. Go ahead and just, you can do it in the middle of the show. How do we book
him? You just need to understand that if you have an event that's good and you want it to be great, if you want to not have to worry about the hustle and bustle, this guy who's really calm right now, I'm calm because I'm confident.
Right. Listen, I love that. So how do they book you?
Oh, DJBushEntertainment.com, at DJBushENT on all platforms. But yeah, DJBushEntertainment.com.
Awesome.
That's me.
So you know that this podcast, the cornerstone of this podcast is to celebrate the power of the dope comeback story. Because we are, right, I wish I had it, right? And so I feel that we can come back from anything. That's just my personal mantra. That's my personal belief. With the right resources. And I always say that the top and main resource is definitely God. I don't think you can do it without him.
Okay.
As my personal conviction, you can't. And so I want you to talk to me. Let's get into some love. Aww. Let's get into some love.
She said we're practicing early enough. Right, right.
So I want to know, how you guys met. I want to know what sustains you as a couple, trials and tribulations that you may have had to go through. what you consider to be your your comeback story, and then take us on this journey of you guys becoming the dope parents that I know you guys are going to become. Oh, yeah,
dun, dun, all right, so like I said, I'm from L.A. I went to FSU and never looked back. I used to do spoken word poetry at one point in my life. My wife used to do spoken word poetry at one point, and she's way better at it than I ever was. Like, way better. Just know that she did a whole poem that was number based, and words were number, like, there's 1 through 20. Oh, just know, she's very deep. Very.
I should have told you guys to bring some poetry then.
No, man, then we're just over with. We're gonna, but we will have a poetry night, so okay. I'll let y'all know. So, a mutual friend and two times from Miranda. Brought her out to a venue that I'm frequented every Monday night. And I saw her perform. And I was like, oh, yeah, she's super dope. And then somebody did something weird. I tell this story, and she don't remember this. But, like, I don't remember a whole lot, but I remember this. So, yeah, like, I love this part. So somebody did something bizarre. And I'm the type of person, like, I pay attention to everything. So if somebody across the room do something, I'm going to see it. And I thought I was the only person who saw it. I looked up and she saw it too. And I was like, wait, you pay attention.
Our eyes met across the room. Right.
Yeah. It was like, what they call it, meet cute or whatever. I think that's what the term is. So it was like, we saw it. We locked eyes and then we shared a laugh. And it was the summertime. I had a Tahoe with no AC. And we spent hours, you hear me? Hours talking and just learning each other and figuring one another out. And I knew, like, man, this girl, like, we both got AC in our homes. We are in the truck just vibing.
Right. How did you get her there, though? Like, what was your?
I don't have no game, y'all. Like,
y'all just kind of met. Like,
you
y'all...
see, I'm on the couch. I'm like, I'm not hyped yet. Like, I work best in the moment. Okay. She's not the type of person, to my understanding, to respond and be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I got right. some game. You know, she's going to shoot that down. That's not.
You approached her, though, or did she approach you? Or was it kind of organic?
So we used to hang out in a group, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of other people in the group just kind of got busy. And so, mm-hmm. like, the group started dwindling down. Yeah. And so by the time it was only like four of us hanging out yeah. on a regular basis, it was like two people and us.
You know, so. I just always kind of knew us to be together. But, yeah. So that was how we met. And then, like, we were in this, we were unsure as to those of you who aren't listening, those of you who are watching the podcast, I'm pointing at myself right now.
Yeah.
We were kind of unsure mm-hmm. as to the series. We knew we were serious, but I knew I wasn't done being silly, if that makes sense. And I didn't want to make a mistake.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we both knew that, like, it was super serious early on. Like, it was, yeah. like, because it was funny because DJ used to tell me how he courted his ex. Like, he used to.
I love you saying that word. I fellas, did. I did court.
Well, he used
but
to
it didn't work out,
it.
Bro. So, yeah. gentlemen, be careful. Be careful who you court because it might not work out.
So he used to
you
tell me
be
that.
Careful, white. Right,
like he
right,
said,
right.
he always wanted to be a good husband, so he was very intentional about. Okay. The way he approached her. And one thing I told him, like, years later, and I was like, you know, you kind of courted me on accident. Because, like, when you court somebody, like, the old way you go and you spend yeah. all this time and you hang out with them and you in their space and, you know, you get to know each other right. a lot. And, like, me and DJ probably spent 16, 17 hours a day together on accident.
Wow. Like, just, how do you do that? Like,
So we were both in school at the time.
Yeah, I did the Upper Bound program,
which was hosted by the CARE program, which yeah. I was Look also working
that.
For the CARE program.
Look at that.
And so yeah. it was like our jobs kind of coincided. Mm-hmm. We went to the same school. Like, ooh, we
did the same
we had the same sort of extracurricular vibe.
The,
and so
the
we
stars
just,
were aligned.
Yeah, so
that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we just and so
that's know, what I'm hearing.
We just enjoy it, yeah. being around each other, and so like it just we were like, oh, this is what you're doing today. Oh, I'm doing that today too. Let's do it together,
right?
And it just snowballed, yeah. I guess.
But so as it kind of and that sounds all great and oh my gosh, that's so sweet.
Oh no, them
right?
first 2 years,
but
was
like
rough.
Yeah, at the same time, we were both and a lot about the comeback story, like. that last situation was tough. The situation for that performing was super tough. So it was just, my goal was to push her as far away from me as possible, because she was too close. And I knew her being that close made her extremely powerful, and mm-hmm. she could easily destroy me. And I would have been done.
So you were courting her at a time where you had just come out of a relationship? Is that what I'm hearing?
Not on purpose. We actually both had just came out of a relationship. Okay. And, like, neither one of us knew, actually, because we were friends, but not the type of friends that really okay. talked about our relationship. Like, we didn't date on purpose. Like, we were just super cool.
Gotcha.
And so... Like,
you're talented. I'm talented. Let's do...
Okay.
So, like, I just one day, like, I was just appalled by something that my ex had did. And I just happened to be talking to it when we had an event that was going on that night, and we were setting up for the event. So I was talking to DJ about it, not knowing he had recently went through a breakup as well. Mm-hmm. And so
I'm laughing at
the surrounding circumstances.
Yeah. Great.
He's laughing. Laughing at some people.
No, you gotta share. Like, what? Oh, no,
it's okay. Long of a story. Yeah, it's a whole backstory. It's a whole backstory.
At all. It's okay. So funny. It's so tangential.
But so I love y'all because y'all have like these little silly inside jokes that y'all.
Well,
like
me and DJ
spark.
Been together
I
since
it.
I was 19.
Yeah.
Since you were not.
Yeah.
Well, do you mind? How many years have you guys been together?
I'm 33 now.
Okay.
So,
I was about to say, yeah.
What's that, 12?
14.
Dang it. You're already building up the empire like before she's 35. So, good Lord. Before you guys are 35.
I don't know. I'm
but yeah, we just, I don't know. We just started hanging out more and we just.
I'm 38.
For the record.
I don't know, we just it's real organic with us, and I think that both of us were we were both in a point in our life where we had individual growth left to do. Like a lot. Both of us had a lot. We have both been through a lot, and it was just a lot of stuff that we had individually, and I think we both recognized that we were in a position where we cared about each other a lot, but we also had the potential to hurt each other a
lot.
That's
so mature.
And so honestly, that was more him than me. Like I was just like, oh well, we could work through it. But that balance was good because I was like, are we doing this or what? And he was like, let me make sure I'm ready to do this. In that combination, like, I mean, like, there was a point, like, probably right at 2 years in, that I was like, all right, it's a time limit on this.
Yeah. When you say, are we doing this, are you saying, like, are we actually going to become a couple or, married? Or are you just saying, like,
No. We married.
So, listen, because I'm like, listen.
Well, the thing is, me and DJ almost acted like we was married.
Yeah.
But then, like, we real met fast. In January, probably by June, we were spending all of our time together.
Yeah, man, mama.
Oh,
that was just like.
No, listen. I didn't meet mama until graduation.
Oh, but even still, just the way that occurred.
Yeah, but, but it was a situation where we were like, if we ever get into an actual relationship with one another.
It's going to be so serious.
We already knew where it was going, so we needed to get to a point where we were like, all right, are you done playing games? Are you done playing? Are you done being whatever? You know, and really get to that point where we said we can focus enough on one another to really make this work and get through all of the little individual stuff that we had, because hurt people. So
absolutely.
You have to get over that hurt for yourself so you don't wind up projecting that on the other person. So we both had to do that.
But DJ was saying that he pushed you away. You pushed her away when you felt that you were having deep feelings for her, or
just like, I want to say, like,
he didn't want no help. He didn't want to let me help him.
Gotcha.
And so a lot of my attempts to help him do, like, I'm a naturally helpful person anyway. And if I love you, I'm really, really going to help you.
Just like with everything, or emotionally being available, or just.
He always let me be there for him emotionally. Yeah, it was stuff. You know, like, it was like. For example, there was something that happened where we went to Miss Ola. We went to a particular office together at the school, and he realized that some old like parking tickets or something was going to stop him from getting his degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so they explained this whole complicated process of how he had to do it in order to do it on a payment plan. Oh, okay. And he was just like, And I was like, man. I was like, babe, do you have the money? FTS. And he was like, I have the money, but I don't have the time to be doing that. So I was like, okay, you bring me the money when you get paid. I'm gonna go up there. I gotta go to, because he had already graduated. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm sorry, he had already finished his classes, but he hadn't graduated. And so I'm like, okay, when I go to school on this date. I'll take it up there. I'll get her to sign the paper, do whatever, and then I bring your receipt, you know. And so. Not the lady who worked at the school probably was not supposed to let me be handling this. So that's why he said shout out to Miss Ola. But like stuff like that, at first he was resistant, like, no, that's not your responsibility, yeah, like, you know, and feeling almost like, it almost seemed like he felt guilty for allowing me to help him, even though he hadn't made a real commitment to me. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm like, okay, even if we aren't in a position to be in a relationship yet, we still friends, right? Like, did the friendship stuff drop off because we're not ready to be in a relationship? And so it kind of had to be... We worked our way there. We worked through all the individual issues we had. Gotcha. And then honestly.
So let me tell
you. Oh, you're going to tell that story? Okay.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So it's almost as if we've told this before. So then one day, out of nowhere to her. So I go home from my class reunion. My class reunion for me was.
It wasn't your class reunion. That was 2011. It was before that. It was 2010.
I went home for something.
I think that's when you went home to see Alicia. That is when you went home to see Alicia.
Oh. The one person who actually calls me by my name. So I went home to go see her. Oh, yeah, that's right. I went to the Grand Canyon. Yeah. So I go to the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. And the entire time I'm there, I'm there physically, but, like, my mind is here.
Mm-hmm.
So, she come pick me up from the airport, and I'm not a public displays of affection person.
Okay,
but like, girl, get up out the car. Let me lay this kiss up on you. Aww. Give you this big old hug, and she look at me like, "Hey, what's going on right now? Like,
right.
Like, who is this? Who's this dude?
Yeah,
like, who is this Denal?
Like, and listen, how long were you gone for? Yeah,
this was
5 days.
It was a quick little trip, but that sealed the deal for me. Yeah. Like, I knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
From then, like, it was almost immediate. When my mind is made up, mm-hmm. It's like a light switch. You flip a light switch and light is on. Like, it's like night and day. My mind is made up. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I was so confused. I ain't gonna lie. Because when he left, like, maybe like a week before he left, he said, I had called you bae in front of somebody, and he was like, "Can you not do that?" And I was like, "Okay." So when he went home, when I dropped him off to the airport, I came home too.
Okay.
So the whole time he was home, like, we texting back and forth, but I was like, "Whatever, dude." All right, whatever. And so honestly, when I was home, I was like, "He lucky I'm going to get from this airport." And so when I get there,
she had to drive all the way.
I'm all like, "Who? What is this? What's going on?"
Yeah.
And so, but it's just like, it was like a total 180 for him. It was just like, once he decided, that was it. Like, I was already at the point, like, we either gonna be together or we not, you know. But for him, like, for the next, it was probably a couple months before I got used to it, honestly, because I was just waiting for something, like, to snap back other way, because I'm just doing? Like, all right. But honestly, that was 2010, and it's been like that ever since, once he decided.
Goodness. So, because I know I have a lot of listeners that's out there, and I know I have a lot of single listeners that's out there, me including myself. And I just, you know, I've been going back and forth, like, the whole time, flip-flopping and wondering and inquiring in my head, is just listening to you, because it seems like you had your mind set up, Sarah, that, okay, you need to make a decision, like, what are we going to do? But it also seems like, DJ, it didn't happen until you made up your mind. Is it because of, I still feel that it's still the gender role. And I still feel like, you know, we have this millennial society that's telling women to shoot their shots and do all that. And I do feel that women have to put ourselves out there and let guys know that we're at least interested in all of that good stuff. But I still feel that ultimately it's up to the man to make that ultimate decision or that move. It just seems to me, I don't know, listening to your story, and I could have it, it may not have happened for you two that way. You may see it as more of a mutual thing, but for me, it seems like it took you to be without her for 5 days and no longer 17 hour day for you to be like, ah.
Well,
what by that point, we watched in the 16th. Yeah, okay. No, that didn't happen for the whole 2 years.
No.
Right.
So when listening to it said, like, yeah, when we tell it that way, I can easily see that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was, like, I knew I wanted to be with her. Like, that was never.
From day one.
No, not like that. Not like, you know,
it wasn't like intended to be like that from day one, though. Like, we really just, like, liked each other more and more the more we hung out. But at some point, we were both like oh, we like each other.
Yeah.
For
like, but when I knew, like, I knew I wanted to be with her, but it made. I also knew that in order for me to be with her, I couldn't disrespect. Like, it was so serious, it could not be disrespected, right? We straight. Right.
That's what y'all want. I'm just saying. Yes.
So, like, it, I don't necessarily think it was, okay, I allow it for this to happen. Because I don't. Like, I'm not the whole machismo alpha male.
That
stuff is kind of foolish.
I just think it like both people have to be ready, and it just so happened in our relationship that I was ready first.
Okay,
you know, like I think that had it been the other way around, with our varied levels of patience, it might not have turned out the way that it did.
Okay.
But
that was sweet. That was a real nice way to say it.
But
she said I'm impatient, yeah.
Right.
Word. We'll say word.
Yeah.
Shout out to Growth.
Yeah. Two times for Growth.
But I don't necessarily think if it was the other way around and I was the one who still needed to grow, I believe that our love would have kept him patient.
Gotcha.
And it wasn't, I'm not ready to be with you because I want to go run down all the street with all the, you know, ladies who don't wear enough clothes. You know,
scallywag. We don't fool with scallywags, bro.
So it was never like, I'm out here just living this whole single life and I don't want to be with you. It was, I'm working on me. And as the person who wanted to be with him, I wanted to be with the best version of him. And I saw the work that he was doing. It wasn't like, oh, I'm working on me. And then, you know, I call and you trying to go in the next room and, you know, like whatever. It was, I'm working on me and I see you working on you. I see you getting up and doing extra hours at the job. I see you putting in extra work with the music. I see you marketing your whatever. Or just, I see you trying to make yourself more patient. I see you trying to make sure that your life is the way that you want it to go and really caring about those things. Because it wasn't like, the only thing we talk about is, are we going to be in a relationship today? We were having conversations about what was going on in our lives, and I saw that he was doing exactly what he said he was doing. And I was, even though at some point I was like, all right, it's a time limit on that. For the most part, that wasn't what it was. It was like, is this what you really want still? Mm-hmm. Or is your growth moving you beyond wanting to be with me? Because if you still want to be, at least for a certain amount of time, if this is still what you want, I'm willing to wait because I see what we have.
Okay.
And so it wasn't a whole bunch of like, oh, I got to go do all the things that I'm going to do before I'm a married person.
And all that
It wasn't that.
No.
Heck no. Because, like, I'm silly, but I'm super serious about the things that I am serious about. Like, real serious about the things that I'm serious about. So, I knew that I didn't want to mess this up at all.
Right.
Like, I knew what I had. You know, like, I knew exactly what I had. I knew how much value was in the, like, y'all got to understand, like, my grandmother was sick and dying, and like my wife took care of my grand, like my grandmother came to live with us, and like my wife took care of my grandma. Like it's so much realer than like this is the person that I want to lay with. This is the person I want to wake up next to. You feel me? Like this is the person.
I love
like
that. Yeah.
First thing in the morning before the teeth is brushed. Like I'm there. You know what I'm saying? Like come in, give me a hug and kiss. Like that's serious ass love. And I don't think that people view that part of it. I always have.
Gotcha.
So like in order for me to be committed to that to the degree that I knew I needed to be committed, I had to make sure that I was ready. And then, like, I grew up, and again, shout out to my parents. I love them. No slight to them, but, like, I grew up not necessarily having...
Like a roadmap?
The financial aspect.
Okay.
Like, we weren't poor, mm-hmm. but, like, we ain't had, like, and especially growing up in L.A., I felt like I was poor, but, like, mm-hmm. we weren't poor at all, yeah. like, yeah. in the slightest. But I know how important having some sort of financial stability is, and I knew there was a level of growth that I wanted, that I had, that I personally didn't experience. Mm-hmm. Like, we homeowners. My people ain't on no home. Mm-hmm. Like, and we was actually just talking about that on the way over here. Like, our mortgage is going to be paid off in less than 15 years. We're not playing no games.
That's
like,
awesome.
So when we do have our family, our kids won't ever have to worry about, like, they're going to pick which house they want as their house
Absolutely.
Forever. Like, but I knew that in order for me to be the man that I needed to be to do that, I couldn't figure that out. I needed to know, like, the roadmap about how to go about doing that. Like, I didn't want to figure that out and then stumble in our relationship.
Gotcha.
Like, that's, I didn't want to have a kid young because I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to mess up. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I'm going to do it perfect because I'm older,
yeah.
but, like, it's a bunch of silly stuff that I did in my 20s that I can't imagine myself doing with a child.
Yeah.
But, like, now I'm like, sure.
Like, you good. Yeah, you good.
Let's go to the, we're going to go to the beach and pick shells. Let's go get some shells.
Listen. Like, and I love, like, I love, like, your, the post that you, I know we can only get a snippet when you, because people post what they want to post, right?
Yeah.
But your post, to me, it's encouragement for that real deal, like, feel good love. Like, your love just screams through your photos, and just, I love the way that you even started this podcast off with speaking to one another, like how silly and complimentary of one another, like, you guys were when you guys, before we started taping,
she,
like,
putting the silly on for y'all, just for y'all.
Like, to me, that's just, that's something that you can't make up, right?
Yeah,
I don't feel like you can make that up. Like, you actually like each other.
Yeah.
We do.
And you actually have fun with one another.
Yeah. He's the only person I don't get tired of. Like, okay. really, he's the only person I don't get
we
tired of.
We had a
of.
Conversation yeah. about that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't say, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently he gets tired of me a little bit.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
So it's not that I get tired of her.